What a beautiful day it is, and what a beautiful worship service this is. Woo, just to come before God and give Him glory and praise and honor for all He is and all He does. And it's just such a wonderful thing to be here with you. You heard about the Bible study on Titus. And this week when Scott and I were having our pastor's meeting, we actually did quite a bit of repenting this week in terms of how we have been as pastors. And when we were going through Titus, we really were focusing on the simplicity of the message and the beauty of the instruction to the church. And so I'd highly recommend if you read Titus, the whole book, it's only 3 chapters. I just would hope that Rock Valley would look like that, that we would take all that instruction from that book. It's such a beautiful book about how the church is to be operating in its ways, in its walk, in its teaching, in its doctrine, in the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a beautiful book and gives such wonderful instruction. And I think that all of us could gain so much from that book, and not that we don't from all the Word of God. And hey, I want to commend you parents. 25 kids were up here for memory verses today. So wonderful job by the kids. And, you know, if Abe Abraham is watching, he was very happy today because the stage was full from side to side. And so that was one of his dreams, that it would just go right across. And, you know, Scott came up to me after and he said, "Do you realize the number of kids we had today was 3 times the size of the first service of Rock Valley, like just in kids with memory verses?" Now, and there's other kids too, so it's just so exciting to see. So I told the Belts children that I hope nobody takes my verse today, because I had a verse today that I came with too, and it's Matthew 7. So would you turn with me to Matthew chapter 7, one that we're probably very familiar with, but I want us to look at the principle that Jesus taught here in Matthew chapter 7 and verse 7. It says Matthew 7, verse 7. And it says here, "Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be open." So these verses are very familiar to us, right? I asked the kids, they knew the verses, and it was exciting as I gave my memory verse to the Belts children this morning, and they talked to me about their verses and to see that. When we put these words in our heart, do we see what they mean in the way that we live our lives? We're continuing on today in the topic of the blessing that God gave us to think, to reason, to choose, and to believe. And this teaching of Jesus right here, why is Jesus spending the time to put this in this gospel, in this word that he's teaching? Because it is the principle that underlies the whole of the truth that God created you and that God gave you choice, that you get to have decisions about what you do. See, what's so fascinating is that God loves us. He made us in his own image. And he loves us so much, he gave us freedom. Do we really appreciate what that is? The freedom to be able to make a choice. You see, as a parent, I know it was heart-wrenching when I read about Adam and Eve and how God created them and how God said, "Let them have dominion." And God said, "Hey, Adam, I want you to name all these animals I just created. You get to name them," right? The inclusion of Adam and Eve into the process. And then when God looked at Adam, he said, "It's not good that man dwell alone. You need a helper." And there was nobody fitting. He made the woman, and he was showing a type of the mystery of the church between Christ and his bride. So think of the intimacy when they're given a choice, because God put a tree of knowledge and good and evil in the midst of that garden and said, "You can eat of every tree of this garden," every one of them. The tree of life was there too. But he put the tree that was a choice of something different than him. As a parent, I think any of us that have kids, how heart-wrenching would that be? Like, but God was prizing freedom of choice, freedom of thinking, because he was wanting more than just someone to be a robot. He was looking for children that could recognize him, his love for us, that we in turn would love him. And so Jesus Christ, because of the choice, was slain from the foundation of the earth. See, he knew that there was a remedy in his son for what was about to take place. And ultimately, the remedy becomes even a louder calling, I love you. Even when you sin, I love you. And my desire is to make you in my image, in my likeness. You ever think about the fact that our relationships need to be based on a foundation of forgiveness if they're going to last? That's the Jesus Christ message. Christ, the foundation that's laid, a foundation of love and forgiveness and service and humility and kindness. And see, there was a choice that God made, what he was determining to do. But Jesus here in Matthew 7, he's saying, ask and it's going to be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be open. And when Adam and Eve went and they took of the tree that he said, don't take, they got to walk through that door. They got to go through that door. There's a principle here that works. And it can be a positive one or it can be a negative one, depending on the choice that we make. Never forget one time we lived in a beautiful house in Tuscany Hills. We had a neighbor on one side that was the son of the neighbors. He had a really bad drug problem. He was into drugs, doing drugs a lot, had caused a lot of destruction, had fought with his father out on the street, and just had done a lot of bad things. And so he was doing drugs and known. And another neighbor moved in one day, and the son of that neighbor was also a person that did drugs. In fact, the parents warned me right from the bat, their kid wasn't good. But wouldn't you know, on the very day that they moved in, those two bypassed my house and they connected with one another. And I remember watching it happen and I'm like, that's so interesting. They know. They know. They know. You know, there is something that we put off that is known. Who are you? What are you seeking in life? And it was amazing how the relationship between these two, it was like somebody in a destructive vice met a person in a destructive vice, and they did destruction together. And they sold drugs, traded drugs, did crime, and it was like watching Cops at that house for a while because they were being arrested, and I got to see them arrested and hear what was going on, and parents saying, I can't trust my kid. I have locks on my inner doors so they can't get into my room. You know, it's like, oh, it's painful. But there's an attraction when we ask. God says, I'll let you have it. One of the principles we talked about earlier in this sermon series, first, that God gives you choice, life or death. He says, I counsel you, choose life, choose blessing. But the choice is yours. I call heaven and earth as a witness. Choose life or death. The choice is yours. You can ask for life or you can ask for death. You can seek for life or seek for death. But you are choosing whether you know it or not. You are making choices all the time. If you think you have a non-choice, that's your choice. There's defaults in life. It's really tough to go out and love and serve someone if you're unwilling to make a choice to do it. The word and way of God is active. If Jesus would have never come down from heaven above to earth below, emptying himself of his glory to be a sacrifice, where would we be? The very message of the cross, the message of love, was found in the actions of Jesus Christ. So when he says, ask and it will be given to you, he's teaching us a principle and a law that is true, that can work for you or against you. Turn over with me to Matthew chapter 14. Notice in Matthew chapter 14 and verse 25. So now in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them, that is to the disciples who were on a boat. They were being tossed around in the waves. And it said he was walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it's a ghost. And they cried out for fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them and said, be of good cheer. Hey, guys, it's me. It's me. Don't be afraid. And Peter said to him, Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water. Peter asked. He had an ask. If it's you, Lord, command me to come to you. That's a good ask, I think. So he said, come. And when Peter had come down out of the boat, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. Yay! Exciting! We all need to be getting out of the boats. We all need to be learning to walk to Jesus. He says, come. When he draws us, we should say, come. He says, come, we want to go. He's drawing us near. But when he saw the wind, verse 30, was boisterous, he was afraid. He began to sink. He cried out, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately, Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him. So there's the Lord to save. But notice what he then says to him. He says, oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt? Why did you doubt? Now, what do you think about asking, seeking, and knocking based on what we're seeing here in the story of Peter on the water with Jesus? When he asked to come out and the Lord said, come, and he hears his master's instruction, he goes. And what is he successfully doing? Walking on water. Wow. Awesome. But when he becomes afraid because he looks at where he is, what does he do? He sinks. This is the power of asking, seeking, and knocking. Jesus said it like this. Remember when the blind man came and he said, do you believe that I can heal you of this? And the man, yes, we believe. And what did Jesus say? According to your faith, let it be done unto you. According to your faith. See, what Jesus is showing us in this story about what happened with Peter is when he was believing, he was walking. He was on the water with Christ. When he started looking at the circumstances, started seeing what was going on, he began doubting because of what? He knew what that looked like when Jesus isn't around. Right? So all of a sudden, he starts making calculations. He starts making, what's going on here? And he takes the focus off of Christ and he sinks. That's the story of human life, my friends. The just shall live by faith. But with the unbelieving, it's not so. According to your faith, be it done. Turn with me to James for a moment. James chapter 1. Notice this principle again. James chapter 1. So James says in verse 5, James 1 and verse 5, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. Ask and it will be given to you. But let him ask in faith with no doubting. For he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. Let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. What are you really saying when you doubt? What are you really questioning? Who are you really questioning? See, the principle that we're talking about today is one of the most powerful principles of understanding your life, because God gave you the opportunity by showing you truth to choose between good and evil, blessing and cursing, life and death. But he says in Romans 1, he gave them over to uncleanness because why? They exchanged the truth of God for a lie. They exchanged what was good for something else. They asked for something else. And God in Romans 1 says, I'm giving you up to it. In 2 Thessalonians 2, what do you say? Because they did not receive a love of the truth, what happened? So God sent on them strong delusion that they would believe the lie. It's what they asked for. He gave them what they asked for. He will give us what we ask for. Now, so you see, when we talk about seek and you will find, knock and the door will be open, ask and it shall be given, we should understand that there is a powerful principle and law by which things are governed in our relationship with Almighty God, in the way that we live our lives. Because ultimately, what is the calling of the gospel? To believe. How is salvation arrived at? By belief in Jesus Christ. That you can say, I judge myself a sinner in need of the salvation of Christ. And I believe that you, Holy Father, sent your Son Jesus to die for me, that he took my place, that he was exchanging with me, that he would bear my sins, that I would bear his righteousness, and by faith now I am holy in the Lord, accepted in the Beloved. I am a son of God. And in being baptized and receiving the Holy Spirit, we know that we received an adoption of sonship. And if you haven't received that yet, if you haven't been baptized, if you haven't come to that moment in your life, maybe today's the day for you. But here's the thing. What are you seeking? What are you asking for? Because what this is really doing, what it did with Peter, what God is doing here in teaching us this in James, he's saying, I'm going to strip away what's right in your heart. I'm going to strip away all the nonsense. I'm going to show you. You're going to get what you want. So what do you want? And this is what can create all manner of heartache in life and all manner of joy. You think about the heartaches. When a person makes a choice to say, I would rather pursue a vice, alcoholism, drug abuse, sexual addictions, pornography, whatever, that choice doesn't just affect that person, it affects all the people around that person. God prizes freedom so much, he lets us make choices like that. And it's those kind of choices that ultimately can bring you to the very devastating place where you say, I'm a sinner, I have sinned, I am worthy of death, I need salvation through Jesus. To turn it all around. Sometimes through our own experiences, sometimes through our own choices, we have to see how far this principle of asking you will receive, seek and you will find, knock and it will be opened to you. We have to go down that road. In a very negative way, with very negative consequences. And it can really cause destruction because that's what it produces. Jesus said, you know them by their fruit. A tree that is good cannot produce bad fruit, and a bad tree cannot produce good fruit. When you see fruit in your life that isn't matching up to what you say you want, we should ask, well, then what do I really want? Okay, because now we're getting to the essence of where the heart is, where life is. What do you really want? It's not what you say intellectually. It's what you do with what you know. What did James say? It's not the hearer of the law who is justified, but the doer of the law. There is an action that is part of this that actually says this is what you really want. So I want to pull back a little bit here for just a second. And I want us to look at a way that this is found in society. Because I would say that there's a law that's been discovered here by mankind, regardless of Christ, that is used very often. And it's something that can happen for the good. There's a gentleman I like to listen to. I would consider him a mentor in my life. His name was Jim Rohn. He's passed away a long time ago. But he would talk about people, and he actually talked about himself and how he complained about his job, that he wasn't making enough money. And he came across a man by the name of Earl Schoaf, and this man, Earl Schoaf, said, well, tell me about your situation. What's going on? And he said, well, you know, I'm working for the company, but the job doesn't pay enough. And he said, well, what do you mean? Well, the company doesn't pay enough. He wanted to make more money, and he says, well, that's all the company pays. And Earl Schoaf said, no. That's all the company pays you. How is it that a person could understand a principle that would change his life just because a simple question was asked? Why do you think people get paid more than other people? Why do you think people have higher positions than other people? Why does that happen? See, because the belief might be like a storm that you're walking on waves and you can't figure out, how do I go from here to there? How do you go from stepping where you are today to stepping where you could be? We have a man that came to work with us, a young man about 3 or 4 years ago. His name was Dustin. And Dustin was smart, bright, positive, and hardworking, and frankly knew nothing about business. But he had raw abilities. And when we brought Dustin in, it's amazing what you don't know about things. And it gets revealed when you're thrown into circumstances that you've never been in. And, you know, we call it being green, right? He's really green. Like, he's not mature yet. He doesn't know what he doesn't know. And so what you discover when you start working with a person is, what do they not know? What do they need to learn? But here's what was so awesome about Dustin, is that he asked us, well, how could I go from where I am today and what I'm making to work here to something higher? He asked a question. Well, okay, what's your thinking? Well, I want my wife to be able to stay at home. I want to make enough to provide for the family. I want to see, is there a trajectory here? Great question. Seeking something to be of value to his family. So here's the thing that's awesome about the question. When you're willing to ask the questions, what did Jesus say? Ask and it'll be given to you. Well, here's the thing about work. Why do some people get paid more? Why do presidents of companies, like presidents of Stater Brothers or Albertsons, why do they make more than the guy bagging the groceries and chasing down the carts? What do they have? Skill sets? The ability to do things that maybe the people that are getting the carts don't have, but maybe the person in the cart's on his way to that job. The reality is the questions bring out, where can I go? Just because you are someplace doesn't mean that's where you're going to stay. You see, if you always evaluate your life based on what you're used to seeing, experiencing, touching, feeling, tasting, you might miss that we are on a walk of faith. And what is God doing in us? Now, here's what's amazing about Dustin. When we told him, well, you need to be able to do this. You need to be able to do that. He went from being green to now he's getting more experience. Well, Dustin, this is the way you talk in this circumstance. And when you're on, there are things that you can reveal and there's things that you need to be discreet about. And as he took the counsel and as he started to engage in the mentorship programs that we had working, he started to mature. And instead of being low man on the totem pole in his department, he worked up to a higher position and a higher position. And with the positions, he got higher because he had skills now that I could put him in something better. And his boss, Chris, kept putting him in higher places. And we are watching with amazement to see a person with intelligence who loves the Lord, who comes to work with a positive attitude, to watch him grow and develop before our eyes, that in just a few short years, he went from low man on the totem pole, he is now managing that department. And with it come the rewards, because we can pay a manager more than we can somebody who's just starting. Right? See, sometimes we think we want to be the manager or the president on day one. You don't start there. You've got to start by asking, what's my next step here? And the reality is that as he was willing to listen and employ the things, asking, seeking, knocking, opportunity opens. And he develops into where he is, now managing four other people. Why? Because he can train them what to do. He can teach them the way we do things. He can teach them our guiding principles, our philosophy, the way we conduct ourselves in business. He didn't know any of that when he started. Now he lives it, and he can give that to somebody else. The student becomes the teacher. Why? Because he asked, what do I need to do to go from here to there? Now, this principle is applicable. People that want better in lives, you might not get it at the same company, but generally speaking, in the workplace, the more value you offer somebody, generally the more that you can earn and pay. Generally the better position that you might be able to attain to. It's a law that works, but if you say, I don't know, I don't think I can go any higher, that's pretty much what you get. If you don't believe that you can progress as a person, But the thing is, it's not that you need a better job. You need a better you. You need a better you. When you have more to offer, you have more to give. And when you have more to give, you have more value to share with other people. Okay, so this is a way that we can see in work. So if you're in a work spot, maybe think about this. How do you grow in your work? It's get a new skill set. Add to who you are. It's about development and growth. It's a principle that works in mankind, whether they have belief in God or not. They recognize this principle. You go for one thing, you're going to have it. You want another thing? Not. But it's not just a matter of wanting it, because if you say, I want a better job, but when you get off work, you don't read to make yourself smarter. You don't take a class to learn a new skill. You don't learn anything new, and you sit and watch TV all day, you're probably going to stay right where you are, because that's really what you're asking for. You really don't want the better. You really just want what you have. Think about it. You're making choices all the time in your life about who you are and where you want to be. God lets you make them. You don't have to get a better job. You don't have to make more money. There's nothing about that you have to do. But if you want it, you have to ask. All right. So we're giving you an example in this way. I want to now pull it back to, what do you really want? What are you really seeking? Are you asking? Are you asking God, what is it you really want? See, here's the thing that cuts to the heart about this law. We can say, God, I want to be close to you. And you can say, well, in what way have you asked? In what way have you sought? In what way have you knocked? You see, ultimately, when we look at what Jesus is teaching about the choices that we make, we have a teacher available. Now, years ago, I was amazed by something, and I didn't really understand it. I heard it. They said, when the student is ready, the teacher will appear. You ever heard that before? When the student is ready, the teacher will appear. Why? Because now the student is what? Asking, seeking, and knocking. It's not that the teacher wasn't there before. It's that we weren't asking the right questions to find the teacher. We just didn't know. I studied to get my license as a registered investment advisor. I hadn't really thought of it before. Once I made a decision to do it, it seemed like every time I turned on the news, opened up a newspaper, read something, there was information about registered investment advisors. Did you guys notice that too? No. Because you weren't looking for that. I was looking for that. And the thing is, as I looked, I was amazed to find that truth that was, wow, I got all this information. I knew nothing about it, and all of a sudden I found out where to get the books, how to study, where to take the test, all the things I needed to do to qualify to get a designation. Cool. So what did I do? I applied myself to study because I wanted something, and the channel was there for me to have it. What does God say? Turn with me to 1 Chronicles 28:9. 1 Chronicles 28:9. It said, you, my son, know the God of your father and serve him with a loyal heart and with a willing mind. But this is what I want you to notice, because here's a declaration of who God is. For the Lord searches all hearts and understands all the intent of the thoughts. What do you really want? What are you really asking for? See, when you read those verses in Romans, it says that God will allow you to exchange the truth for a lie. That should be so sobering, because he'll let you go for what you want. One of the saddest things that we read about with the people that God is speaking about in Romans or in 2 Thessalonians or even of the children of Israel, he basically said he just gave them up to what they wanted. He gave them up to their own desires. Even though he rescued a people, he saved them. They were baptized in the Red Sea. They all drank that same spiritual drink. They all were fed that bread from heaven. He said, I wasn't pleased with them. Even though he saved them, even though he baptized them, even though they drank of the spiritual rock that was Christ, he said he wasn't pleased. You see, we should understand and learn. It says there in 1 Corinthians 10, in that chapter that's written about this, this is written for your admonition that we would get the lesson. God's saying, I want you to choose this. I want you to choose it. Now, look at what God says when he talks about testing the intents of the heart. Notice as he continues on here, if you seek him, he will be found by you. That is a promise you can take to the bank. Do you believe that? Do you believe that if you seek him, he will be found by you? Because I want to liken back to what we talked about Peter. When Jesus said, come, Peter was able to walk. But when Peter doubted, he sank. James said, if you lack wisdom, ask for it. God's going to give it to you. But ask in faith, because if you doubt, don't you even suppose that you're going to get what you asked for. Do you see how powerful these principles are? It's a two-edged sword. It goes both ways. So as Christians, as those who have been called, we've got to look at where does God want me to be? What am I seeking? Because if I just keep seeking without intention, my carnal mind might just be defaulting to something I don't really say that I want. What might be fruiting out of me has nothing to do with Christ. My desires, my ways, my paths. And God is saying, I'll let you choose your own way if you want, but you can choose the path of life. So what do we do when we invite Jesus in? Jesus, what do we say? You are my Savior. You are my Lord. What you want, I want. What you see, I want to see. That my heart would be purified by your heart in me, that the intents that are now in David would be the intents that are flowing from you. Purify this heart. Purify my thinking. Help me. And God is saying, if you seek that, if you ask for that, if you knock on the door for that, you will receive it. But know this, that this loss strips you down to see what you really want. So here's the question. It says in Hebrews 11:6 that without faith, it's impossible to please God, that one must believe that he is and that he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Right? If we want the reward that God is offering of his presence, of finding him, but yet we do not seek him in our actions, what are we really asking for? What do we really want? That's the question that cuts to the heart, isn't it? How much are you going to give for the Lord? How much are you doing? Are you all in on this? What did Paul say? Whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord. So whether you're working your job, taking a walk, praying, Bible studying, fellowshipping, working with the poor, visiting widows and orphans in their affliction, whatever you're doing, are we doing all in the name of the Lord? Have we realized that the glory of the Lord in us is to say, you're my Lord, you direct my days? Because if we seek for God to be in whatever we're doing, what did he promise? We'd find him in whatever we're doing. If we ask him to be with us, help us, what did he say? I'm going to be there for you. What did James say? God says, resist the devil and what? He'll flee from you. Submit yourselves to God. Draw near to God and he will what? Draw near to you. How close do you want to be? How much do you want to be with God? See, the answer is all based on us, because he is saying, I'm right here. Where can I go from the presence of the Lord? If I go up to a skyscraper, is he there? If I go down under the earth, is he there? In the sea, on the land, where is God? Okay, so now when you start to realize, okay, so you're saying that what's going to happen is I'm going to start to see. I'm going to start to receive you. That's exciting stuff. So notice again what he says. If you seek him, he will be found by you. But if you forsake him, he'll cast you off forever. Forsaking is a word that basically means you just didn't pursue. You don't have to be violently against God to forsake him. You just have to say, not interested. I'm doing my own thing. In other words, as we were talking about, you're actively making a choice whether you know it or not. So are you, as you live your life, saying, what am I really asking for? What am I really seeking? On what doors am I really knocking? You see, because just like with the example of my employee Dustin and the way that he grew as a man and as an employee, he kept asking questions, he kept seeking, and he kept being promoted. He got the reward that he wanted. In the same manner, God's saying, seek me and you'll find me. But if you just want to stay in the position you are, you can be. Did we ever want to be without God in our lives? How near do we want to be? Turn over with me to 2 Chronicles 15. 2 Chronicles chapter 15, verse 2. Notice in 2 Chronicles 15, verse 2. So when the Spirit of God in verse 1 in 2 Chronicles 15, 1 came upon Azariah, the son of Oded, he went out to meet Asa and said to him, hear me, Asa and Judah and Benjamin. The Lord is with you while you are with him. That is so awesome, isn't it? That is a wonderful promise. If you seek him, he will be found by you. If you forsake him, he will forsake you. So, as Christians, as those who are here because we do believe, as those who are here because we have confessed Jesus Christ, I want us to realize the warning on the one side, but now I want us to live with what we are to be doing. What are we doing in our lives? We should not leave without the moments of introspection that we need here today to say, what am I really asking for, God? What do I really want? You see, the Lord is desiring a people that will come to him and desire him. When we went through the book of Haggai in the Bible study, he calls himself the desire of the nations. That we would desire him, that we would be near. And he said, when I'm with you, you don't have to be afraid. I want to help you. I want to be near you. I want to bless you. Do you think about the fact that God is desiring to be engaged in your life in a very powerful way? That he wants intimacy with you and he wants to show himself strong on your behalf? That you serve a God that is not just so mighty and so big and involved in so much that he's afar off. He's right here. By faith, the glory of God comes in our lives because as we believe in who he is and we say, I know you're here because I'm here seeking you. Right now, in the chairs where you sit, he's as close to you as you want to be. He is here. He is present in your life. When you walk out that door, he is there. When you get in the car, he is there. You drive home, he is there. He is wherever you want him to be because he is everywhere. You cannot run away from God. He is always present and he is always ready to be near. He says, draw near to me. Cleanse your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, you double-minded. Stop saying that you want me and you keep living in the ways of the world. Stop going two ways. Will you keep halting between two decisions? And the reality is that God is saying, guys, do you want me or not? Because these warnings that we read in the Old Testament, they're in the New Testament. If you want him, go for it. But what does he want? He says, you are not worthy to follow me if you're unwilling to take up your cross daily and follow me. He wants your very best. He wants the prime cuts of your time and life freely given for intimacy with him. And he wants the other times in your life to be in service to mankind. It's really pretty simple. A devotion to God and a devotion to service. A devotion to others. This isn't hard. These are the two great commandments. It's not hard to understand, but it's hard to do. And without the Spirit of God, it's impossible to do. So you can set off on all your plans to do this or that. But if God is not guiding, leading, and empowering it, what does it mean? If it's not motivated by love, but by self-righteousness, what does that mean? You see, everything that we do in the questioning of what am I really asking for? What am I really seeking? What am I really not going to find? Is stripping away at the very intents of the heart so you can say, here's where I am, God. Flay me wide open. Reveal who I am. Because all I want in me is you. And that is why seeking the Lord is so important, that if we are going through the motions of intellectually acknowledging what we need to do, but we're not actually seeking Him and asking for Him in our lives, we can so be missing the point. We can so be missing it. And so God is saying, don't miss me. Don't miss me. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. Notice what He says here. Jesus, as He is teaching a little earlier in this recorded discourse, Matthew chapter 6, in verse 33, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Don't worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow will worry about its own thing. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. So what do you really have? What is life? It's moments of time, moments of consciousness, right? God gave us this ability to think. He gave us this ability to reason, gave us the ability to believe, to choose. You have these moments, and He's saying, with these moments that you have, I want you to seek first my kingdom and righteousness. Now break it down to what you can control. See, I can't worry about what's going to happen tomorrow. Right now, this is what I can control. Right now, I'm here with you. Right now, we're together. Right now, we're sharing the Word of God. Right now, we're looking at our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and we're listening, and He's saying, seek first the kingdom of God and all His righteousness, and everything's going to be added to you. See, in that, we can have faith, because that's His word of promise. And what we do in life is without the doubt of what's going to happen. Oh, no, what's going to happen to me? It is with faith in God saying, you're my provision, my protector, my helper, my God. And the desire of the heart is to come near to Him, because in Him we live and move and have our being. In Him we find the blessings of life. And so He's calling us today, saying, kids, come closer to me. Kids, I gave you the choice to come closer to me. Make the right choice. Seek me with all your heart, your soul, your mind, your strength. Let go of the things of the world. You know what's so awesome? Again, the book of Haggai, it was such a beautiful Bible study, because God says in there twice, and it's repeated in the book of Hebrews, that the Lord is going to shake heaven and earth. That all the stuff that can't last be broken off. And He's going to shake heaven and earth, because whatever we might have hope and confidence in just goes away. You see, when you think about the shaking of heaven and earth, what does money do to help you in that situation? Frankly, a better job. How does that help you? How does it help you when the very foundations are shaken? What are you thinking about at that moment? Am I going to survive? Am I going to be alive? What really matters? And you realize as God shakes heaven and earth and God shakes our lives, He's trying to say, let go of every idol. The things I created are not what you're serving. You're not serving the food that perishes. You're not serving drink that perishes. You're not serving riches that perish or strength that perishes. You're serving the everlasting God in the riches of His grace and the glory, His honor forever and ever, seeking first His kingdom and righteousness. Where do all these things come in comparison? Where do they fall? They fall right down to their proper place. Yeah, it's nice to have a nice house and enjoy your food. God says enjoy it. I give it to you to enjoy. To enjoy, but not to worship. Not to trust in uncertain riches, but to trust in the riches of His grace. Because ultimately, where are we all headed? We're headed to a grave and the hope of a resurrection. And what are you going to give God in the resurrection? The very things that when you are shaken, and that when fire burns off, it's all the things that are lasting. So what does He say in 1 Corinthians 3? Take heed how you build in your life. There's no other foundation that can be laid other than Jesus Christ. So on the foundation of Christ, his salvation and lordship, how are we building unto him? Or is it with wood, hay, and stubble? Or is it with gold, silver, and precious stones? Is it things that can be refined or not? You choose. Do you realize that's what Paul is saying there in 1 Corinthians 3? You get to choose. You're God's field. You're God's building. You choose. Your heart and mind are a beautiful place that God has given you. He's saying, hey, how are you gonna work that? You gonna work that with me? Let me in? You gonna bring those thoughts into captivity to me? Or are you gonna let it grow wild? Your choice. You wanna plant plantains? You can do it. So saints, we have the power of God in our lives to help us, and we can come and say, I don't want to plant without you. What crop looks good to you, God? What can I plant in my life that you can bless? What does this land look like? You know, it's really amazing. I work in the produce industry. You know, there's some places they grow the best melons, but you can't necessarily grow tomatoes or lettuces in those places because the heat is hot. Melons love heat. They get sweet when they get the heat. Peppers come on with flavor. All your chili peppers, they get hotter when there's hot weather. Guess what happens to your spinaches and your romaine lettuces and your iceberg and all the baby lettuce? They just burn up. You want to reap those? Different land. The thing about God's church is he makes us all different. He's like, I'm going to plant some of this here and plant this. I want my church doing these things. But all of you are using your talents and the gifts that God has given you. And you're going forward and you're saying, I choose. You might say, I know that God's laying on my heart to visit widows. Go to the nursing home. You realize we got a Wildomar Senior Center. We got the Murrieta Center. We got a place over here. We got three within short driving distances. You want to go visit widows? Friends, you've got to drive someplace and go in and say, I'd really like to come have fellowship and company with the people that are here. Are there people here that don't receive regular visitors? Are there people here that could just use a friend and just somebody come in and talk to them? And I imagine they're going to find a way. If you want to go volunteer to be helpful to people, they'll find a way for you. But you got to go. You got to go. You can't just talk about it. You got to go. See, there's opportunity all over the world. Whether it's Go Mobile for Life or working at Birth Choice, whether it's going to visit orphans, widows, those in prison, whether it's working with freed slaves or trying to find those that are impoverished that need some help, there's all kinds of availability. See, that's what God's saying. It's out there. It's already here, guys. Do we see, as we sang in that song, the world through the gospel, the world through the light of Christ? Do we go out and say, I choose you, Jesus, and now I go with you. And now the life I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. See, we can get so tied up. And that's why I'm asking you to read Titus. We got to untie some knots here. We got to untie some spiritual laziness. We got to get back to what's going on and saying, guys, we got to get some steps going. So many of you are serving in so many ways. And probably in many ways, I don't know. My encouragement is keep going. Keep doing what you're doing. But if you find yourself saying, I'm not really sure how I'm doing it, start asking the questions of God. God, I want you to be with me. Lead me in the path to go. Put on my heart what you want me to do. Maybe you're doing exactly what God wants you to do. And he's like, no, you did hear me before. Just keep doing what you're doing. Or he might say, no, I want you to go in this direction. But here's the thing. If we're not asking the questions, well, then what's going to happen? Jesus said, ask and it'll be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be open. God loves you. God called you to be his kids, that we together could be part of the body of Christ, that we could do the things that he called us to do. And he wants us to be engaged as a body, as a church, sharing together in his ways and being a light and a witness, not hidden under a bushel, but demonstrating this is who Jesus is.
in all the ways we live. And we do it not for show, not even to appease our own conscience. We do it because we love God and desire to please Him. And when our ways are pleasing to God, He will bless us. He will give the strength, the gifts, and the abilities to be the people He made us to be in the image of His Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.